Everybody, we're at the Heartland Institute's 15th Climate Change Summit. I'm with Steve Milloy. He is the lead exposer of junk science. He's also on the board here at the Heartland Institute. Steve, thank you very much for joining us today. What would you say are some of the worst examples of junk science that you've seen just in recent years?
Oh my God. Well, I guess the two that I spend most of my time on now, first is climate, and the other is EPA's PM2.5 air quality scam. They've got a big rulemaking going on now, so that I'm working on that. I've written a book about that, and that is probably the most demonstrable science fraud of our time. But you know, climate, of course, is the most important science fraud of our time.
Why do you think it's the most important?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that there's been no that CO2 emissions don't drive warming. I have shown in my presentation today that over the last 8 years we've emitted 500 billion tons of emissions. There's been absolutely no warming, and so we are told that every emission causes warming, but for some reason over the last 8 years, which amounts to like 14% of total man-made emissions, there's been no warming. So what's the explanation? For me, the explanation is emissions don't drive warming.
What about the idea that maybe the ocean ate the global warming?
Well, look, it's a very complex system, and explaining it is beyond my pay grade and beyond the pay grade of probably 99% of the people, 99% of the scientists on the planet. Now, there are some people that have some interesting ideas. That said, you know, the con that we are being forced to swallow is that every emission warms the planet, and that is clearly not true. So I'm just going to stick with that. I think, you know, how the system works is very interesting, and I hope people figure it out one day, but it's not really the issue right now.
Yeah. Your website and even your tweets, you just have a knack for finding the graphs from the government's own sources proving that we're being deceived. But in terms of the why, I know you're not a mind reader, but why are they doing this in your view? Why are they trying to make us believe that CO2 is a toxic pollution?
Yeah, so a lot of people say that, you know, climate is a religion, and all these tree huggers, and they really love the environment. They love the environment more than humanity. And I think that's, I mean, there may be some people like that, but I think that's entirely wrong. I think that what's driving climate is these people are essentially communists or totalitarians, and they want to control our lives. I wrote a book in 2009 called Green Hell, How Environmentalists Plan to Control Your Life and What You Can Do to Stop Them. And in there, I describe, you know, how they want to control every aspect of your life. They want to tell you where to live, how many children you can have, what kind of energy you can use, what kind of light bulbs you can have, what kind of toilets you can have, you know, where you can live, what you can drive, blah, blah, blah. It goes on forever. I mean, it's just, there's no aspect of our lives that is too private for them. And it's all about control. You know, my talk today, I use the example of Animal Farm. And people should read Animal Farm because, the bad pigs took over the farm, promising good things. The good things never materialized, but in the end, the bad pigs were still in charge. So, and that's kind of what climate is. You know, they're dazzling us with these, you know, these scares about the climate and what they're doing to stop them. And Joe Biden is, you know, trying to, you know, tackle or combat the climate crisis. In fact, nothing's happening. He's just taking away our freedoms, making us poorer. And in the end, we're going to be stuck like that, and he will have accomplished nothing.
So you have been exposing this for years. A lot of the scientists here at this summit have been exposing this for years, and yet the freight train doesn't seem to stop. I just got back a couple months ago from Egypt, and they came up with this document that we need to spend trillions reorganizing our economy and our energy systems. Is it going to be possible to stop this movement? And if so, how do we do it?
Yeah, so look, the New York Times had a poll last summer of likely voters and asked them, you know, voter priorities. Climate came in at 1%. Okay? So, you know, real world conditions for people, faltering economy, you know, they're struggling, lots of other issues, the border, you know, what have you. Plus, you know, the fact that no one's really, I don't think people are too convinced that emissions are destroying the planet, which is a good thing. So I think, you know, it's losing its popular support. I mean, that's, and you have more and more of a hard sell. The problem, though, is that the leftists have captured every institution in America, and, you know, including the federal government, many state governments, universities, previously unpoliticized institutions like the military. And, you know, in the Biden administration, they have a whole of government approach to climate. Every agency, regardless of its, connection with climate. You know, like the Department of Health and Human Services, what do they have to do with climate? But they have a climate program.
So do you think this can be stopped? And also, what's the best way to follow your work, the websites? And you have a wonderful Twitter account. How do people follow you?
Well, it's going to be difficult. I mean, this is the struggle of our lifetimes. China is a mortal enemy, mortal threat to us. But I'm more worried about the communists in America than I am the communists outside of America. They're the big threat to me. I mean, I think we can handle the Chinese, but what do you do with the enemy within? And so we have to fight these people. I do it every day. People can follow me at Junk Science on Twitter. My website is junkscience.com, and I'm happy to hear from people and entertain their questions. And if they have good information, I'll retweet that for them. And
fantastic. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.